take a medication.
You all right?
Roman holiday. I'm ready.
What episode is this?
27th.
Ooh.
Yeah.
27th episode. We're going to talk about comics. Because we like to talk about them. And we will probably have spoilers. Maybe.
Maybe.
But we're going to talk about actually, we're kind of talking about comics from the past 2 weeks. So,
yes.
FYI. True. So you actually may not have had a chance to read some of these comics just yet.
Not yet.
You haven't.
Well, because it's Sunday.
Well, yeah. So theoretically you have, but you may not have.
Right.
Also, so there could still be spoilers
that's
for
true.
You.
So, but it's the Empire Strikes podcast.
Yeah. That's it. That's
talking about comics.
We're going to talk about comics and stuff.
Sorry.
From October 16th and the 23rd.
That's right.
Yeah.
So here it is, 27th. It's October 27th.
We hope that you've had a wonderful Halloween time.
Yes.
Halloween.
Comic Fest. We're coming off right in the tail end of the
This is post-Comic
Fest. Comic Fest.
We still have a week of Halloween, though.
Yeah. Which, there's a lot of good books that came out. I thought there were some good selections. There were some Thors, some Spider-Mans.
Right. Batman
Long Halloween. Even the little Gotham Halloween special.
Yay, reprint.
Ben 10, Super Dinosaur, which is really cool, by Robert Kirkman. Axe Cup. Sketch Monsters, which was Joshua Williamson, the same guy
that
writes Ghosted, and it was like a little kid's book, and
I
it was
liked
awesome.
It.
But yeah, so there's still some left. You can still come get some through Halloween and all that fun stuff. But
hopefully you dressed up, went to your local comic book store, had some fun.
Yeah, that would be great.
Did you guys dress up?
I dressed up.
Did you?
I did.
It's weird.
Did you? Did you put any of those pictures up on any of our
Facebook?
So other people did.
Because Camille and I... We're Han and Leia.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she was a
slave Leia.
I was slave Leia.
Someone dressed up as me.
So did you catch that?
I was slave Leia.
Which
was awesome. It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
Cool.
You were a beautiful slave Leia.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I had it down pat. I tried my best to look like Carrie.
Carrie Fisher has nothing against you.
I was surprised.
Probably does kind of look like
Carrie. Aww. Poor Carrie Fisher.
So that was fun. And look forward to Free Comic Book Day next May. Mm-hmm. And then again next year for another Halloween Comic Fest.
Yay.
You know, it really surprised me how many people didn't know about Comic Fest.
Yeah, it's relatively new as far as the Halloween one goes.
Second,
I mean,
third year,
I think. And so, yeah, it's... You know, it's
it makes
not,
sense like a half free comic book day,
right?
Right.
Like your half,
and it's like another festival that's like really into
a lot of people like
cosplay and dressing up for Halloween and stuff.
So it's an appropriate time of the year to have.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Any opportunity to give kids an opportunity to come into a comic book store and put their hands on things.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
That was my favorite part when kids were like, "I'm gonna get one," and
you're like,
"No,
you can get more than one.
Can I get this? You can get, like, however many you want.
It's free comic.
Whatever. Get some. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Read. Yay.
But surprisingly, didn't see any Thors.
Really? No. Norman's daughter actually dressed up as Thor.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
I kept trying to call her Valkyrie all day. She didn't understand what I was saying. I was like, hey, Valkyrie. No, just
Which, speaking of, did you read the Marvel Now What one-shot that came out?
I haven't yet.
There's
but I'm
a
excited.
Joke about Valkyrie appearing and nobody knows who she is. And
that's
it's so
that's
it's really
like
cool.
Real
it came out last week.
Only
yeah.
In. Only in comic.
But speaking of, so Thor 2 is coming out,
mm-hmm.
and apparently Alan Taylor, director for Thor 2, was not cool with any of the post-scene credits.
Well, apparently he wasn't too great at directing the movie because they brought in Josh Whedon to help rewrite.
That's
right?
So, do I really care about what he says at the post-credits?
Right.
I'm still going to see Thor.
I'm totally going to see Thor. Yeah, I mean...
I'm going to watch all of the Marvel movies.
Yeah. And I guess
Captain America 2?
Heck yeah, Winter Soldier. Did you see the trailer?
Yeah,
what'd you think?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that one quite yet.
Really?
You're going to build a big helicarrier.
Helicarrier.
Crash it as well.
Yeah,
because what goes up
must go down.
Yeah.
Apparently, Skojo is all...
Yeah, she's all over the map on that
signed
stuff.
Signed on for every Avenger movie
16
ever.
16 Marvel movies,
all
probably.
Forever.
Hey, I'm
security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool for her. I'm happy for her.
Yeah, so I want to see Captain America, too, because you remember I'm a big, huge Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So that's kind
really
of why
I'm kind of
like, I don't know.
Like,
that's
why I dressed up as for Halloween.
Did you?
Bucky Barnes, yeah.
Nice.
Well,
I guess his deal was that it's based on Guardians, and so... Guardians is a little more lighthearted and, you know, pseudo campy sci-fi stuff as opposed to Thor being, you know, mildly serious.
God bomb.
Medical gods. And so, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I'll see.
Difference of opinions.
That's fine, because I'm stoked for Guardians. Mm-hmm. And
I am too.
Me too.
And apparently Vin Diesel has one line in the entire movie.
What?
I am.
It's because he is Groot. So and all Groot says is, I am Groot.
Okay.
Well, so he is playing Groot?
Yep.
I am Groot.
It's kind of surprising.
How is he going to play Groot?
Well, he's just the voice. He's the voice? Basically, yeah.
He's the voice.
The voice of...
No, he got in a Marvel movie.
So yeah, that's all he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Paul Rudd.
Potential Ant-Man.
One of those guys might be an Ant-Man. That's a tough one.
I love Paul Rudd, but I really think Joseph Gordon-Levitt, whatever his name is, would be better.
I think...
I don't know.
Honestly,
I don't know. They're both
Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, Gordon-Levitt, Human Torch.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about that Michael C. That. Jordan from Chronicle as Human Torch, which obviously there's a color difference on that one. And so they're talking about switching it and making Johnny Storm something like the adopted son of the family, or, you know, the son of the
family.
So they could tie it in and explain why he's a black guy now as opposed to the traditional, you know, all white Johnny Storm.
But then he wouldn't be Sue Summer's brother.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what makes that relationship works. Yeah. Yeah, that's what the family thing is all about. And so...
Huh.
I guess adoption is the new thing, so I guess it could work.
Right. So either way,
but there's
not
like a genetic thing there that makes...
No, because they got their powers from an accident.
Yeah, it was they were in space. That's right, because of the space whole... radiation.
But not anything like the Challengers of the unknown space accident.
Right.
They could easily do it and just say he's adopted.
Right. I mean, it's worked before, you know, with... or Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. I'm totally blanking on his name. Yeah. And of course, Nick Fury.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's cool. Michael Clark Duncan. Yes, that's it. Dang it.
And he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, it was great. And, it, you know, it's lost. But I don't know, with Johnny Storm, that's hitting it a little.
For people who've read it, you know that they're biological brothers and sisters. So right. That's kind
of
odd. But.
So we'll see. But Gordon Levitt as Human Torch would be pretty rad, I think. And then, of course, getting Paul Rudd Ant-Man because he's naturally an older kind of guy character.
Mm-hmm. And he's hilarious.
And he's funny. Yeah.
I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt could do the cocky Human Torch guy really well. Yeah.
But,
I still like Chris Evans as Human Torch.
I know, but now it would be weird.
He's Captain America. Yeah. You can't do it.
He's got a twin brother. Ah, whoa. He's related. He's related to the story.
That's a story.
What's going on this
By the
week?
Way, Arrow television show's not that bad. Watched all the first season. It's.
Did you? You liked it?
Arrow kind of is more like Batman for a couple episodes, but then like the script kind of locks in and it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
it's
like,
I've watched a few episodes.
It doesn't feel like Smallville, which I can appreciate.
Right.
Because he's not defeating his greatest villains before actually becoming Superman.
Okay.
But, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was...
Because I watched up to when Deathstroke was introduced.
Right, which it kind of...
I was not... I mean, he killed... Yeah.
It falls flat a little bit in terms of Deathstroke. But after that, it continues and kind of see what happens to the island. And I like reading it because... Diggle, his friend, his counterpart. I like him a lot. So
I've heard it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watched Tomorrow People.
That was actually really good.
It's more like Push, right?
Powers are more like Push.
Yeah, and like it's a natural evolution, and it's the most problem I have with like the CW type shows is that they're like kind of an. Younger.
They're geared toward tweens.
Yeah.
Teens and tweens.
And so that's my, just being older, you know, it's like I like to, that's why I like S.H.I.E.L.D. so much better, because the characters are, I guess, more mature. Of course, because Coulson's in there, you know, and everything.
Right.
Even though S.H.I.E.L.D. in its own right has some, you know, lulls on it as well as far as story. I'm not really sold on Sky, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. But,
whoa, I just almost
broke the
Superman.
Oh,
all
right. it is nice. I mean, as far as, you know, we've only seen the first episode, and it was it was pretty cool. I mean, I think the ties between the government knowing about this the entire time, and, like, you know, they're kind of this ragtag rebel group of, you know, it is kind of where they all have the same powers or something, you know, but.
I'm kind of interested to see how that pans out, because it's like, since it is like a genetic jump sort of thing.
And how it's like how, different like families, how? Like suddenly someone is just born that way.
Right, out of exactly. The same, like, what's the connection there? So, yeah. I mean, surely we'll find out, but it can't just be random. I don't know. I mean, it's well, good. Speaking of, good.
American Horror Story last week, and we find Old Trick's developing some new powers, setting stuff on fire with
somebody
a glance.
Somebody hasn't watched it yet.
Oh.
Only half the people in the room.
Dang it. Oh, it's the spoiler stuff.
Okay. It's okay. We'll skip we had a one. Week.
That's true. Anyway. But still. American Horror Story is good.
And Ender's Game's also coming out November 1st for all
That's
of
you. That's right. Yeah. Yep. So all of you who didn't read the book, you got a week. So if you haven't read the book, it looks fantastic. Well, the book is fantastic.
And right.
Fourth grade, one of my favorite books of all time.
Fourth grade. I can't wait to see the movie. So I've been dodging the trailer for about 6 months now.
Have you? Uh-huh. I've only seen it once, like a couple of months ago, and I really only remember Harrison Ford. But
because how could you forget?
Right.
Also, Arkham Origins is out as well.
Arkham Origins is out, and apparently there's some sweet Batcave stuff. Did you guys hear about the Batcave stuff?
You know, me and Batman go hand in hand.
Yeah. Like, apparently you go to the Batcave, you like shoot up in the air, and there's like a Batwing that will fly you to the Batcave, so you're like exploring the world, finding clues, going back to the Batcave to deduct it all and get your XP, and then you like advance the story that way.
Well, that's cool, but it's weird because it's different voice actors for Batman. Yeah, that's true. The Joker, so
no more Mark Hamill, huh?
Or Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. Conroy. He was super awesome.
Yeah, he was. Hey, AzumiCon's this weekend.
It is. AzumiCon is this weekend, so for all of you local listeners who actually live in Oklahoma or in somewhere where you can have gun will travel to Oklahoma, we are hosting AzumiCon, which is kind of like our anime convention, pop culture convention that we have every year. Normally it's in Midwest City, but actually this year it's moved to a larger venue, which is actually the Cox Convention Center. So that should be very, very exciting.
That should be super giant.
Yeah, right?
So I'm excited to hear about
like see all the cosplay.
The cosplay is probably one of the best parts. And finding out about new anime if you're an anime fan. I imagine that Attack on Titan will probably be this year's big winner.
Big one, right.
Yeah. But
I can understand it.
So, and that's all weekend, 3 day passes, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think those are still selling on their website.
Right. You know how much they were offhand?
They've ranged, they started out at like, I think $25 for 3 day passes. I think now they're at 30 or 32.
That's maybe not bad 40 for 3 days.
It's only 10 days a day, $10 a day, maybe 12 or 15 per day, because I think it might be 42 now.
Yeah.
If you buy them at the door or something. But that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Should be awesome. Good. I'll be there.
Woot!
No cosplay this year. I'm still working on some things, but hopefully next year.
Yay! Well, you guys want to talk about some comics?
Oh, those.
You want to talk about these?
Are we going to do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Might as well.
We do.
Might as well do that. Huh. DC Comics. Quite a selection this past couple weeks, I'm going to say. But,
okay, so I will admit that I am frustrated. So Animal Man 24 is the book in question here. Jeff Lemire, great as always.
Yes.
So now we now have Raphael Albuquerque as the art. Well, it kind of, being a longtime DC fan, I now feel like my Animal Man's turned into my American Vampire.
Oh.
I can see that.
What?
But I still think, you know, obviously, Steve
No Travel like Foreman, no Steve
Pugh. Yeah, I don't know. I think he does kind of capture the stylistic world of it a little. But, I mean, yeah,
but
it is different.
Be
it's
honest.
Not traditional. That's what he's going with. But overall, the story, once again, because, you know, it's Jeff Lemire.
Right.
He's moving around. And so
he had no Villains Month tie-in or whatever, but Brother Blood is the one in question.
Yes. And now, you guys remember Rotworld, right?
Right.
Remember that crazy, crazy nonsense?
Yeah.
Three Elements? Well, now the Red's rising up.
Trying to take over. We're at
yep.
What?
Yep.
Where's the green? The rot, what the green was trying to do? So
no, it was decay. Rot was trying to take over.
Yeah.
And so, and it was told, I mean, it was kind of set up back then. You knew this is coming at some point.
But it's weird, though, because it's like a human imposter trying to, like, merge his way into
because, yeah, he's, like, had this belt. And we actually end up finding out that one of the main gods of the Red, the Totem, what was it, like four arms or four legs or something? I can't remember. But he basically had made this guy and planted him in the human race as his own avatar because he wanted to take over everything, right?
Whoa.
And so he let them go on and make their avatars throughout the years, yada, 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 because he thinks he should be in control of it all. And so now, so here we go. So
the red and the rot?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so now...
So he's trying to take Maxine's position, essentially, as right. the avatar of the rot.
Who's the true avatar of the red. And he's bypassing him. Of course, she's having to do all that crap.
It's a little confusing. Yeah. So, but the red is, like, living.
Living, right.
Like, you got all animals. Living all right. animals.
All living animals. Green is plant life. And right. then the rot is decay. Death. Right. And so now... With everything that happened because of Rot World, with Abigail now being the avatar of the Rot, and of course Swampy still being Green. Which is Animal Man's
daughter?
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. no.
That's Swamp Thing's girlfriend.
Yeah. Swamp Thing's girlfriend. Okay. Slash wife.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay.
Because, yeah, because Arcane Man had a daughter.
I mean, son. They got killed, right?
Yeah.
But did he... Okay.
Yeah, Animal Man's son died. And yeah. Animal Man isn't the true avatar of the Red. But they've just kind of given him limited power to protect. Temporarily chosen. Yeah.
Okay.
And so... Obviously, now we see that they've built that relationship between the Green and the Rot for this to happen and battle against the Red. So, it's always this transitioning triangle where one is always trying to build up power. Yeah.
But it's weird, though, because Ellen calls Buddy Baker an issue, and you kind of, like, imagine yeah. that relationship because Maxine obviously being in jeopardy because she's the avatar of the Rot.
Right. I don't know how they're going to put... You know, of course, Buddy or Maxine, in, because they're not part of this. So it's just a piece of the Rot, and it's not the avatars. Whereas in Rot World, it was, you know, Anton Arcane was, you know, the avatar, so they're fighting an avatar. So I don't know how the powers will negate or, you know, how the forces will join. It might be pretty interesting. But with Blood taking over, man, it's a mess. And he's got his little patchwork guys that he's put together that have also tried to become more of part of the Red, and they're basically taking control over everything.
It's a little demented. Which is appropriate for Halloween. Spooky.
Yay, spooky stuff. And of course, it's Jeff Lemire. And so it's always intriguing as ever.
Jeff Lemire writer or Jeff Lemire art?
Right. Yeah, Jeff Lemire.
And at the end, you find out that the award ceremony that Buddy Baker's being, well, in contention for winning Best Actor kind of gets overtaken by... Brother Blood.
Yep. Where it's basically he is now because he breaks into the Red.
Yeah.
Because he has broken into the Red. Totem is taken over, and he's like, go to the world and kill everybody.
Oh,
so
boy.
Pretty crazy stuff. Animal Man issue 24.
Well, dude, what's going on with the DC Universe versus Master Universe?
Yeah, I gotta say this one. It I really only picked this up because of Dexter Soy's artwork.
And you own a comic book store.
And I own a comic store. I can always plus a day. So it's DC Universe versus Master of the Universe, issue 2. Basically, it's a nice little story where Skeletor has come into our world, or I guess, well, the 616. Or wait, no, that's
Marvel. Marvel.
Sorry. Oh, and Earth Prime. And not even that. I don't know. It's a, yeah. Anyways, it's outside of all that jazz. So, He-Man's mom was born on Earth. Did you know that?
Well,
since I only played with the toys,
dang it.
He-Man didn't have a mom in my toy world. Right. So
apparently, Skeletor is in the real world, and he's gaining power, and so Constantine helps, and links, you know, Xanadu and the Justice League and everybody are trying to get to Eternia, because, yeah, it's a whole crazy stuff. Our worlds are convinced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all in all, Justice League gets taken over because Skeletor is magical. Superman is weak against
magic.
So is taken over, and is now the Justice League is working against to take out He-Man and Constantine and Batman, who managed to escape.
Of course, because Batman is just Batman.
Right, and so big battle ensues so with stealthy. Evil Skeletor, Superman, and he goes up against Prince Adam. Power sword through the chest.
Who?
Wow.
Superman died. Superman dies. He got taken out by
He-Man's
power sword.
Weak against magic.
Weak against magic.
But He-Man's from Earth.
He's only partly from Earth. He's also part of Eternia.
How? Is his daddy? Was his daddy a part
his
of
his dad was king of Eternia.
Yeah. Whatever.
But it's funny. It's just crazy.
Is this Guardians of the Galaxy we're reading?
It's fun stuff, though. I gotta say, it's nice seeing...
All I need to know is, where is Sorceress and where is Evil Inn? Are they in the book?
Yeah, Evil Inn is working with Constantine to... Actually, they're trying to help find Skeletor in the real world.
To hurt him?
Mm-hmm.
To hurt him!
Yeah, well, her intentions are never they're always for her own, really. Yeah. But
Evil-Lyn's awesome, though.
Yeah.
I used to have the biggest crush on
Evil-Lyn. But apparently Constantine and Evil-Lyn are the keys between the two worlds because of their magic capabilities. And so, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Sorceress?
She still turned into a bird?
No. She hasn't been in this one yet. Okay. Well, but you check this out. I mean, it's Masters of the Universe versus DC. That's all I got to say. You need to read it.
Oh, my God.
It's so cool. I just wanted to say that. So, I'm just saying it. Batman Superman 4, Last J. Lee. Man, yeah.
So, this was this DC's way of saying, well, it kind of happened, but it didn't really happen at all.
Yeah, it's one of those unnecessary stories.
So this is the part where I get frustrated with DC. So basically, we find this crystal that completely just defies the laws of physics.
Right.
And so basically, the trickster ends up taking the Batman Superman from Earth 2 and Batman Superman from Earth 1, right?
Yeah.
And tries to have like a little competition between the two of them. Ultimately, ends up brain swiping them at the end, so none of them remember that it happened.
Right. All just so that she can see what the next universe was going to be destroyed by Darkseid.
Right. Which happened to be Earth 2.
Right.
Well, that's kind of lame.
Right. Yeah. So it's 4 issues of nothing really happening, only to find out that it never kind of...
It never happened.
So it really never happened at all.
It was pretty, though, along the ride.
It was pretty. Jay Lee's art is beautiful. I gotta say,
I didn't really like the way he drew the Batman and Superman in
this one. Well, it's picky. I don't know. I like abstract.
And I normally like... Because you're talking about... Wait, who drew it?
Jay Lee.
Oh, see, I thought you said Jim Lee.
So no, not Jim Lee.
Okay, never mind. So.
Forever Evil this week, we had some Justice League Dark and... it's Justice League Dark and Justice League, both issues 24. The Justice League was nice because it was like the opposite of the Justice League cover, one.
Right? Well, 24 issues into it, you parody your own first cover.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. and then Constantine, Last Man Standing. Constantine doesn't really move the story along too much. It actually really just kind of ties in with itself, so I don't even know why they're even bringing in Forever Evil, other than that's just kind of going on in the universe, but that's neither here nor there. But I actually say I enjoyed the Justice League.
Right.
I
like the origin into the... gives better details about Power Man.
Yeah. Seeing, like, what their world was like and what they were coming from.
And why they'd want to come over to our world.
So we'll talk about that stuff next week, because there'll be more Forever Evil stuff coming out.
Always.
So, you know.
Forever.
Guardians of the Galaxy, number 7.
God, are we only at number 7?
I know. So well, they had that lull. Yeah, there was like a couple of months where they just like dropped off because of other stuff, but now it's back in full swing. And
this is the issue I've been waiting for. We talked about the 6th one and kind of how it was in a lull a little bit.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, hey, look, Angela's here, but why
we're not going to do anything with her. Right. Yeah, and so here they really like find out, which I really dug that, you know, she told her origin as well, because Neil Gaiman's actually consulting with them to develop her story within the Marvel Universe. So it's really cool.
She's not an angel from heaven. She's an angel from
heaven.
H-E-V-E-N.
Heaven.
What?
Yes.
What does that mean?
So it's like this, basically, for all intents and purposes, it's what our idea of heaven would be.
Okay.
But like all Viking style. Yeah, they're all angels. They're like warrior angels such like that. And it's really beautiful. Pacelli's art on this is just amazing. And the way that she's drawn that, you know, that
heaven.
Oh, man.
Oh, look at the whales. It's really, really dolphin good. Whales.
It's true.
Well, the Vikings were Christians, really. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I like it, too, because we were talking before, you finally get that point where finally Rocket Raccoon and Iron Man and Peter Quill's kind of personality comes up more, and they start making more jokes about the heaven falling, like the angel falling out of the sky, and kind of like poking fun at that.
Right. I mean, doing, you know, knowing that they have to do what needs, they're just going to do it, doesn't matter, but at least they can have fun doing it along the way.
Right.
And so it is, you know, a bit lighthearted, just because I think if I was in that situation where that was my life, was constantly battling stuff in space, I'm sure I'd be like, yeah, let's go fight those guys again, or, you know, this, that, or some crap, you know, making light of the situation. But one thing I really dug, because I didn't know where the Guardians was fitting in like, what was going on with Infinity and such, but basically...
The next one's an Infinity tie-in.
Well, we see that, yeah, because it says next Infinity, and this is, so I was wondering where his talk with Thanos had come into play before Infinity was set in motion.
Who's talk?
Peter Quill,
yeah, they had gone. And so...
Where Thanos was like, well, I'm still going to come destroy Earth
right.
either way.
So it was like set up before all of what's going on in Infinity. So how the tie-in's going to play, I don't know if it'll be like, you know, like, you know, 6 months later, or, you know, something like that. But I'm interested to see these guys come into play, especially since Tony Stark's already been there and he's got this whole other thing going on, trying to save everybody else in Infinity. But you know, in the Infinity story. So, but what do you think about the new stuff? We had Avengers, 21, and New Avengers 11.
Infinity tie-ins.
Well, I mean, basically they are Infinity. You've got the main six, and then so Avengers. Yeah. Okay. Well.
I don't get them. Infinity doesn't make sense to me. It's confusing.
There are a lot of characters to play, especially there Avengers 21. Captain Universe kind of wakes up.
Yes, and we find out that like what the engineers and the builders, they revolted against her like so many millennia ago, obviously, and you know obviously killed the Abyssi,
right,
and all that stuff. So it's been ongoing for quite some time.
But, it's pretty cool sounding when you guys explain it. When I'm reading it, my brain does not understand what's going on.
There's a lot of it going on, and I like that a lot of people are involved. It's a huge
intergalactic space drama for sure.
Right, because they've never, I mean, other than, like, you know, we keep saying the Infinity Gauntlet and stuff, everything that this is linked to, it's just, they haven't done something, like, in the cosmic side of things for quite some time. And I hear there's a new Silver Surfer coming out that is written by Dan Slott, drawn by Mike Allred.
Really?
So that I'm really looking forward to see Silver Surfer come back.
And there's going to be a new Black Widow and Electra book as well.
That's true. Coming out. But yeah, we can talk about more of the Infinity stuff later when the next book comes out.
What about Letter 44? I didn't get my hands on it because it was a dollar.
Wait.
It was
Oni.
Yeah.
I've got a new thing.
Okay, you got a new thing.
Sherm, you just gave me this new idea. You said intergalactic space drama.
Right.
I love that. ISD.
ISD.
What did the people say? LMFAO and all that
right.
stuff?
Yeah.
ISD. So when something really bad is going on in our lives, we have to text each other. Or something crazy, cray-cray. Just
okay.
ISD. ISD. Intergalactic space drama. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
I'm just going to tattoo it across my neck.
Yeah.
But speaking of intergalactic space drama, Letter 44.
Mm-hmm.
That's super ISD.
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 Super
whoa.
ISD.
Speaking of ISD.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of ISD up in that.
Oh, yeah. So who all read Letter 44?
I did.
So just you?
I have not, but I'm eager to know what it's about.
All right. Really, for what I got out of it, one of the main things that I dug about it, the situation is the 43rd president is leaving office, and he writes a letter to the 44th, the guy who's coming in. Now, it's been kind of a crazy run for 43,
mm-hmm.
and so 44 is going to come in, and of course he wants to basically undo everything that 43 did, and you know try to get the country back. It's very,
loosely based on.
It's very Bush versus Obama, you know, early days type of situation.
Very,
right.
I would coming say transition. Say Bush versus Obama.
Yeah,
let's not even get into politics. Just say it's been current presidential transition.
Right, mm-hmm. And so all of these wars and everything that we've been in. For all this time, for the past 8 years,
mm-hmm.
it was actually a guise, we find out,
mm-hmm.
that he was just trying to get
as many battle-hardened troops.
Battle-hardened troops they possibly can, and get everybody used to like a wartime mentality.
Mm-hmm. Prepared.
Because in space, in the deep reaches of space, there's a giant machine that's being built.
By someone.
By some crazy
or
aliens.
Or something.
That they don't know anything about. They know it's out there. They've detected this anomaly. They know what's going on. So they sent a team to go to outer space and find out what's at this location.
That team's going to die.
Oh,
you never be the first team.
I don't think they can die, actually.
Yeah. Well, so it's a 6-year trip.
Is it a 6-year or they've been traveling? No, it's a 3-year trip.
3-year trip. They've been, they're halfway.
Yeah,
no, they're almost there. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're like.
They're about, they're going. At the end of their...
Right,
there,
yeah,
they're
so
about
coming
to
in
pass.
However
over.
Long it is,
right.
They're
so,
at the end of it.
So as the 44th president is going into the inauguration,
mm-hmm.
which the 43rd wasn't there, and of course that's like unheard of. You
mm-hmm.
know, the previous president always, you know, coming in, they were like, oh, you know, this is
he's
crazy.
He's ready to go
whatever.
To his ranch.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously,
very
he reads...
Yeah.
That's what they said.
That's what they
going
said.
To his ranch. Yeah.
And so he reads the letter, and he's like, this can't be true. So he spends the next couple of days trying to figure this out. And then talks to them, and here they are.
His joint chiefs.
Right, yes. And the relationship with the astronauts, there's, what, 6 of them? And, of course,
9, I think.
9? Well,
there's like 6 scientists and, like, 3 or 4. There's a
pretty good amount of them. There's not an equal split of scientists versus military.
Right. But there's only one chick. No, two chicks. There's two chicks. Yeah, but there's you know it's scattered diversity. Regardless,
there's some people in space.
There's in this people group. In space, but two of them are actually with child.
No, one is with child.
Well, I mean two as in
two people.
A couple up there is going to be having a baby,
right?
And they haven't let the government know about this, and so that's
because they didn't want them to stop because. What's the point?
What's the point of stopping? It's a 3-year trip. It's just going to take them just as long to get back, and then they have to start over. And which is totally viable. I understand. Right. So you never know on a trip that long in that closed environment. You never know what can happen. It's weird.
Or you do because there's a thing. Anyway, yeah. You're a scientist slash doctor, and you know how to not do that. But anyway.
Apparently not.
So they get there.
That was the part that I didn't really particularly care for much about.
Yeah,
And that's which made me stop. And I'm like, okay, you're a doctor,
right?
You know how that happens.
Yeah.
You know how to prevent that from happening. So that made me think, like, maybe there's more to it. Like, maybe there is a reason that she is pregnant.
And I could,
there probably is. I'm gonna bet the aliens are gonna scan the daggum ship, not blow it up because they're freaking with a kid,
or something like that.
That's me looking forward. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
so I think there's more to it, but
we'll once see. they arrive, they find that there's this
massive giant freaking
laser thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so
Space Death Ray.
Space Death Ray in ISD. Mm-hmm. All that crazy nonsense.
It was a really, really good book.
I was super duper impressed.
You know, because when, you know, I don't do politics in books at all.
Yeah.
I don't even really speak politics. I have my own opinions about it, but I prefer not to share them. And when you sent me the screenshot of this, and I looked at it, I was like, no. And you were like, awesome. I was like, no, I'm not reading this. I don't do politics on my comic books. That's far from reality for me. And but she said it was good, so I picked it up.
Yeah.
And I started reading. I was like, why am I reading this? I'm from Texas. This is not going to fly for me. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying. And I actually really enjoyed what I read of it so far. So the first issue was a winner for me.
Yeah, I mean,
because it took the politics piece and it wasn't the main focus of it. Because if you're looking at this, you're like, okay, this is definitely
and I think
all about politics, and it wasn't at all. It was actually a really good sci-fi tie-in. What were you going to say?
Right, but I think it played both sides really well. So no matter what your political beliefs, the way that it set it up, with the letter from the 43rd president to the 44th, it's like, look, you have your beliefs and your ideals now, but going in and then living through it completely changes everything that
we don't know.
We don't know. And nobody can know what's happening other than the president. Yeah. You know what I mean? Unless you're there, it doesn't matter.
You may not even know.
You know? I mean, it doesn't. So nobody, no matter what you think is happening, it doesn't really matter. And so I think it really had it played that out really well.
Yeah, it was a nice contrast to what our reality is.
Right.
And
which
relating
is funny
the story to what
so,
we've been going through.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's so much based on reality, even though it is a book about, you know, aliens and whatever. So whatever your beliefs on that reality may be. It walked the line really well. And so but which also I think should be said, this book was $1.
It was $1.
$1.
$1.
And there was I was reading it, I feel like I've been reading this forever.
Yeah.
You get so much of the story in that very first issue for $1.
It surprised me, you know.
Yeah.
Because when, also, the second thing, I didn't notice it was $1 until I was actually buying it, and I was being thrifty with my comic books. But anyway, it's also an Oni Press book.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I typically don't read anything besides Marvel, Image, and occasionally DC.
Right.
And Oni, the only thing I've ever read from Oni is Scott Pilgrim. You know,
right.
And so it's like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna fly. Politics, dollar, no.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you.
It's actually really, really good.
And it sold me.
Be impressed. That's good to hear.
It's sold because you know I've been reading a lot of Charles Soule stuff just because of the books that you know Swamp Thing. You know, primarily as I read a lot of Swamp Thing, and then of course he did the Villains Month, which I thought was really good and everything. And so. No, it's a different Albuquerque artist. It's Alberto Albuquerque.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder if they're related. Alberto and Raphael?
Maybe.
Yeah, you would assume.
But yeah, after reading all that stuff, I was like, well, it's Charles Soule. Give it a chance. I got to say, man, Charles Soule's bringing me around. I think he's writing some pretty good stuff. So.
It was good.
It was really good. It's really, really good. And definitely read the back letter.
Yeah.
Like, letter 44.
For the win.
Yeah, it's good.
Especially for a buck.
Yeah, and I don't remember how. Does it say on there how many issues?
No, it doesn't.
It's only, yeah, it's like a mini run.
I don't think it would be very many, though.
You know, something that's not a short run is this Walking Dead.
God, I am so tired of Walking Dead.
I gotta say, yeah, Walking Dead, and especially where it's at right now, story-wise, I'm like, come on, guys, really, can we get it? Even with the show, I was like, first episode was just like an extension of season two, and it was just like, it wasn't what I thought a season premiere would be, or there wasn't like crazy nonsense happening or anything. But they put out these reprints of Walking Dead number one, colored. With the original...
Was black and white.
Yeah, the original was black and white, and the original six were done by Tony Moore, the creator. He did the artwork on it. Huge Tony Moore fan, right? And so that's one of the things I really liked about Walking Dead. And the fact that they got Dave Stewart to color this...
Of all people.
...is fantastic, because he frames for a lot of Hellboy stuff, and a lot of the darker side of the comics world. And
How did the transition do?
Well, I like...
black and white to color.
It's with Dave Stewart, his colors are not bright, vibrant.
They're washed out.
Yeah, they're washed out, a little muted, and so it's like a hint of color, really. Mm-hmm. But overall, I mean, it does make the artwork stand out a lot better and everything, just because obviously it went from black and white. Mm-hmm. But either way, I'll take it. It was good. If Tony Moore, black and white, but just the fact that Dave Stewart was on there, awesome. What's cool is in the back that he has the original 5-page proposal that they submitted to Image to publish the book.
Well, and that's awesome.
It's a completely little different story, and it was more like Night of the Living Dead, and it was set like in like a 60s kind of world, and the wife was named Carol, and and all this other, and they were like from Pittsburgh or something crap. Something
it's a totally different feel.
So, yeah, it's neat to see some of that original artwork for it and just see where the story really came from. Because it's been, so many years now.
10 years.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a long time, man.
But, so that was good. What did you think about this Buzzkill?
I thought Buzzkill was actually pretty good.
Wait, can I say something on this?
Yeah.
When it's colored on this Walking Dead, it looks a lot like Lemire's work.
Oh. Yeah, I can see
underwater the welder and things of that nature.
Right, the washed out. Yeah,
definitely muted colors.
It is nice.
I don't know how I feel about it, but
yeah, I just just like I said, because it was colored and it's nice. Buzzkill number 2 of 4 came out.
Down Jules, what'd you think?
Yeah,
you really want me to talk about Buzzkill?
I can't. You dug the first one?
No, I didn't, because I didn't read the first one.
Oh,
I thought you did. So that's why I was like, it's in my pool list. I'll go ahead and get it. But I didn't read the first one.
You didn't read the first one?
No, and I typically will never start a series, especially a short series of 4 issues, without having read the first one or owning a first printing of the first one.
Yeah.
But since you stuck it in there, and my list is a little light for this week for what I'm going to read, so I'm going to read this number 2. I actually really dug this book.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know what's going on, but you didn't really need to. You could pick up number 2 and just keep going, and it's actually pretty good. I don't know what happens in number 1, but...
Well, really, it just introduces him as, like, hey, he's in rehab, and, he's...
And we kind of went over it too in the podcast about him, finding out, at a high school party
whenever he gets what I dug about it was issue 1, it was really just hinted that when he was super trashed he would gain these powers,
right?
But really it's from anything. If he smokes a cigarette he gets enhanced hearing and senses and
really
and
caffeine, that's cool.
Yeah,
caffeine. Okay, I need to read the second one.
Yeah, something like that.
Cigarette gives him like something.
So it's anything that he takes into his system,
helps
him
his healing factor,
right? And so that was really cool. And I got to say, the artwork on this is...
No, that's what impressed me was the artwork. Oh. The story was really neat. It's going a completely different direction than what I expected it to go.
Well, I guess we should say that when at rehab, his the main counselor guy basically turns out to be a robot working for the head villains. And he's discovered that now because
when he drank the coffee that he thought was decaf actually had caffeine in it, and that's what triggered
his senses,
and that's how he was able to tell that it got the robot.
That's right.
So it was I liked what I read of it. Having not read the first one, it was pretty good. It's worth reading.
Awesome. Yeah.
The artwork, I like Sean Murphy's sketchy, really active stuff.
So
no, it's not, but that's what I liked. It's similar to that.
Yeah.
Especially the battle with the bears and everything.
Was fun. And then you find out that he has his, they're not his advisor. What is it?
His sponsor. His sponsor. Yeah. Doctor Strange.
It's like Doctor Strange meets like somebody else. I forgot. I had made this whole spiel about that whole scene.
Did you? Know,
like Doctor Strange person, but my brain isn't working quite like it should be this today.
Doctor Bloch.
So he's basically just kind of try to help him, you know, I guess, cope with maybe more manage of the stuff, you know, whenever he gets super drunk is whenever he turns into this big, like, behemoth Hulk super god guy, right? And so
he kills everyone. He ends up stumbling into a church. It's like, there's one thing I know is in a church.
Yeah.
A huge thing of one.
Because they all, you know, after the counselor, like, freaks out into robot mode, then the villains come, they try to battle him.
I love it when he just stands up and he says, Wayne, buddy? Why are you a robot?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I need to...
The humor, it's great. It's good stuff. Yep. So, it's nice. It's only four issues, and it's really just moving along.
I don't even know who the character was that called in his sponsor, though.
Do what?
Who was the person that called in his sponsor?
That's a good point.
The one that saved his butt.
Oh. Well, I would assume it was...
His Batman friend.
Yeah, Batman friend.
See, I didn't read the first one.
Oh, that's true. Batman friend in
the first one. He just showed up at the very end.
Because he's part of it like a team.
Okay.
Yeah. Really kind of like a Justice League or Avenger group or whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty good. Definitely worth a read. It's only four issues, so... and if you've never known anybody who's battled with any type of addiction, I think you can kind of... Well, not with the superpower piece,
well, and that's the thing, because, I mean, in a way, relatable. It's him battling addiction, because it's... But for him, it's not having to do it out of addiction. It's, I mean, you know, it's his power, so it's like he feels, you know...
Obligated to do so, because he's a superhero.
But he doesn't want to.
Rocket Girl is really good too.
Rocket Girl, yeah. You read that one, right? How'd you dig that one? That was amazing. Rocket Girl.
Well, it's got a femme fatale.
You know, it's not fair for me to even judge Rocket Girl. It's about a female heroine teenage cop from the future that comes back
to try to save,
the world by stopping people from making
poor decisions.
I guess they're manipulating time.
And you forget, she's teenage. And she's like 15 or something.
Right, because in the future, there's no adults. It's all just. Kid cops.
So I thought it was great. It's like, and you know, I'm an 80s kid, so it's like New Jack, or not New Jack.
New Jack.
What is it called?
Cops.
What was the one? New Jack? No. 21 Jump Street.
21 Jump
Street. 21 Jump Street meets like Time Cop.
Yeah.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme meets like kids.
Campier. Yeah, it was awesome. Funny. It was a funnier issue. Yeah. There was.
I really dug it. You know, there's not really much to talk about. You know, you summed it up in the beginning of what I talked about. You know, she's coming back to save the world in the future.
And the Amy Reader art is beautiful. That's all I gotta say.
The artwork
and
is
the
really
wonderful Carrie Kelly reference as she flies out the window. There's a whole Dark Knight Part 3.
So I liked it. I thought Rocket Girl was fun. I really did. But the artwork was pretty. Story's fun.
Right.
I don't know how many issues it's going to be. I don't really see how it can go too far.
Right.
Because she has one goal in mind. I did like the fact that she comes in as a cop from the future to the 80s. When cops in New York really
stereotype,
don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, so she's kind of like, I need backup. They're like, yeah, we're not going in there. There's a guy with a gun. And she's like, okay. So I thought it was she. And they're like, is she a cop? Is she NYPD? What's she doing down here in the Bronx? And they're just like, what's going on?
And they just let her do it. They're like, whatever. She's in this crazy spacesuit. And they're like, eh. Just go.
She's flying around. But it was fun. It's fun. So it reminded me a lot of Time Cop meets 21 Jump Street.
Rat Queens 2. Anybody read some Rat Queens 2?
Did that come out last week or did that come out this week?
Yeah, this was last week. Yeah.
He's going to have himself.
That's true. Sorry. Same with Sex Criminals. We should wait on those then. Sex Criminals 2 came out. That was awesome.
Those came out this week, though.
Yes. In this one, it's more his story. So
than hers, which is
good. It's kind of nice. It's good. It's even. It's an even split. Pretty Deadly number 1 came out this last week, and
Girl Power, I liked it.
Man,
it's good.
It's a nice, like, western-esque
that came out
story.
Wednesday,
supernatural western.
Yeah, it came out last Wednesday. Kelly Sue DeConnick had a bit of a controversy. Apparently, some shop in LA was like,
comics
"This is horrible," and they ripped it up.
So there's no reason it gives you no reason to make you want to read the second issue,
right?
Is that after they bought it?
Yeah.
They bought it just to rip it up?
Well, no, they didn't.
Well,
you can't
read what you buy from Diamond beforehand. That'd make it so much easier.
Yeah. But,
but I mean, they gave the money over.
Yeah, it's, well, unless,
before they ripped it up.
I'm sure they, yeah.
Well, yeah, because
so they paid to do that.
Yeah, that was his book, really. For all, he could do it. He could just rip it up. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a neat little, like, dark, kind of poetic Western story.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat.
Not quite Tombstone, but no.
Definitely interesting not characters Tombstone.
That, I'm going to give it a couple issues and we'll go from there.
Tombstone's good.
Like Tombstone pizza?
Sorry.
Oh, no, not oof.
Dude, if we got some Tombstone pizzas and watch Tombstone, oh, Tombstone theme night.
Oh, crazy.
That'd be great. I'm just saying.
And read Spider-Man comics with Tombstone.
With a Tombstone on it, like 300?
No. Whoa, yeah.
No, 400, sorry.
Ah, dang it. Oh. Army of Darkness.
I'll be
Reanimator.
You will?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Army of Darkness, Reanimator.
I wasn't.
Has anybody ever seen Reanimator?
I have.
Oh,
what?
Great.
You guys haven't seen Reanimator?
Huh.
Oh, seriously? Man. I think that's one of the things I love most about, like, Dynamite doing the whole, like, old kind of campy horror
they do it theme really stuff. Well.
Like the Vampirellas and, you know. Anyway, Army of Darkness, Reanimator.
There's a one coming out, Sherlock.
That's true.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
that's going to be really cool.
And the covers are Frank Avila covers, which are really nice. But this was a nice little fun Halloween story, I thought. It was kind of neat. I mean, if you've seen Reanimator, then you know who the, basically, why the evil guy does what he does, you know. He brings him back to life and with his crazy juice and somehow, well, like, Ash gets teleported there and he ends up, like, fixing his hand. And
Necronomicon.
Yeah, he takes the Necronomicon and it's been, like, what do you say? It was, like, 2 weeks? He's been
he's been under for 2 weeks.
And he had, like, a new hand, like, sewn on.
His hand was black.
Yeah.
He had a black hand.
Yeah, so it's basically, it's just Ash and Howard hanging out. He actually ends up, like, helping him with some experiments.
He has to be, well, he's kind of being held captive because he won't get in the Necronomicon.
Yeah. But it's fun.
Really? I remember Reanimator.
It's just fun because it's like a buddy. I don't know. I can just picture, you know, I can't remember the main actor, the guy that played actually in Reanimator. But with, like, Bruce Campbell just, like, hanging out in a room doing some stuff. It was pretty good. I liked it.
It was funny. Cool. It was super fun. And then there is, like, an actual Reanimator story in the back. Because they also do Reanimator, which was really good. I mean, there's, like... So, okay, let me ask you. So, Reanimator, is that H.P. Lovecraft, like, for reals? Or, because there's, there's a quote in the back, in the very back, on the Reanimator story.
Oh, Moriarty Lives, that's the Sherlock
story. Yeah, that's the Sherlock story.
Yeah.
If you go to the first page of the Reanimator story, and it made me pause and think, like, is... this super campy 80s movie that I loved actually based on an H.P. Lovecraft story? Is it way deeper than I ever even knew?
Oh, wait, it says H.P. Lovecraft - Herbert West. So it's like what he contributed. He helped. Well, that's right, because remember he went back in time. He was in 1922. He had gone back in time. And so, like, I guess he wrote it with H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh!
Or is how they're playing it.
Okay,
so maybe.
Funny. I was like, it kind of blew my mind for a second, made me think I'd missed something, like, forever ago.
Awesome.
Actually, the tagline for Reanimator, the original movie from 1985, is H.P. Lovecraft's classic tale of horror.
Nice!
So it is!
So,
okay!
Like, but it's funny, because on that, then, yeah, it says he wrote it with him.
Alright.
Or, I guess it's suggested he did it.
Right.
But, yeah, way to go, H.P. That's a fun story.
That is fun. That's awesome.
Shoot First came out on Dark Horse, and this is number one. It's a new series. Secular Humanist Occult Obliteration Task Force.
Did you read it?
Which one?
Shoot First.
I don't even know what that is.
I came into this thing,
it was just, you know, going to be like another one of those, like, buddy cop type of crime. Well, in essence, I guess it kind of is. But no, they fight demons and stuff.
They do, but there's more to it.
There is more to it. Basically, these demons have been coming over here and setting themselves up as deities. Mm-hmm. And they get power from people's faith in those.
But see, here's the thing. I don't know that they're actually demons because it's never played out that they're actually demons. The way it's presented is that these are deities, like angels that people believe in or things of faith, like...
Right. Are really just these other beings.
But, right. But, and that's just the way it is. It's not that they're setting themselves up to be, like, one thing and then actually it's a ruse. There are other things. It's just that that's how it actually is. We think that they are, like, angels. And they are angels. But they actually take our faith force and turn it into something else.
Right.
And it's kind of confusing.
It is. It's a little overwhelming. But there's... The squad, the shoot squad,
right,
which is there to prevent them from, because, I mean, they got, you know, they basically feed on them at, like, what the little basically story opens up in the mosque, everybody's in there worshiping, they appear, these jinn, they appear as jinn, or whatever, as, where I guess that's what they're referred to as, even though they're a different thing.
In that particular.
And they basically just take all those people that are in that moment of ultimate faith and feed on them to gain their power.
Right.
Yeah.
And there is no god, basically.
Yeah, and so it's up to Shoot to come out and control these beasts.
Really?
Yeah. And they're, the way that they're... What was it? Is a combination of denial and anger that powers their weapons.
Yeah, it's like a psychic power.
It's a psychic bullet that they focus to attack these beings.
Mm-hmm. You have to have, like, a complete lack of faith.
Yeah,
which
in order to do it.
Seems almost crazy to me that... I guess because technically... According to the storyline, there is no god, basically. So you have, but there are these demon angel things.
Right.
And so that's what, yeah, they're used to have a complete lack of faith in God in order to use their weapons.
And
so,
then, yeah, they got the technology from a quote unquote fallen angel, which was this angel guy that knew that they were doing this and he had had enough of it. And he was like, I'm going to help you guys battle these guys. And the what is it, the research team or whatever, it's SHARD, the Secular Humanist Applications Research and Development. And so there's been this group that's been running along this entire time. They develop Shoot, and there's, you know, ragtag group of five guys, and one's freshly new that they met at the mosque, who they just discovered that he had these powers, and looks like there's a mole in the mix that's actually working for some of the other teams.
Right, and so. Her son is also
and her son is a some
kid.
Sort of, yeah, with his crazy fire wings.
Just kind of sad. The main chick for, like, the...
So, group. Yeah, it's, you know...
It's a good story.
I didn't really expect too much out of it, you know? It was like, I really dug it.
Yeah.
So,
it's one of those things where you're confused, but you're like, I'm just going to be cool with it. Because I know, hopefully, at some point, it's going to kind of... sense, and it's a good story. It's worth it.
Last night I read this Hellboy Midnight Circus came out, hardback. Then they
what is that?
It's a tale of early Hellboy when he was a child, and it's very.
I need to read that.
Yeah, I love the way he relates to these other stories, like with Hellboy in Hell, it was like Christmas carols and stuff like that. And in this one, it's the Midnight Circus, and like the circus has like a Pinocchio type character, and he has to like go through all these phases, and it's really fun. It's just Hellboy as a young, with him and the professor, and you get to see him as a kid. And
I love all the hardcover, all the hardback stuff.
Yeah,
they do.
I love the way they do those. Yeah. I think it's awesome that they come out with these. They're just one shot stories, you know, not like a 4 or 5 issue line or anything like that. And bam, it just comes out in hardcover as it done.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's really nice. But what else did we have for this leak? We had some Imagine Agents come out on Boom last week, which was kind of nice. It was a pseudo kid-ish type of tale.
I would like to read this.
To check
I haven't.
That out.
Yeah.
Vampirella Halloween special has been out this week for just in time for Halloween.
Yeah.
So these came out this week?
Yeah. Other Dead 2 came out, which it's on IDW, which a lot of good stories really get, you know, promoted on IDW. It's kind of sad, but Kevin Eastman was doing the covers for these and everything, but it's basically the zombie apocalypse taking over from the animal side as opposed to the human race. But it's because of this crazy, like, metal band who decides to have some sort of, like, witchery incantation so they can get famous.
Of course.
So, inadvertently, they cause that.
Sex Criminals 2 as well.
Sex Criminals 2, yes. Again, we'll have to talk about that one.
Daredevil 32...
Yeah.
Aquaman 24, Last Jeff Johns Aquaman.
That's true, and there's, I guess, a couple more in that little tale, so... Zombie War on IDW came out.
Mind Management 16.
Baltimore, Infernal Train, issue 2, 3.
Marvel Now What, one shot?
Yes, which is fantastic. You gotta read the Marvel Now What. It's fun.
Yeah.
It totally makes fun of the whole Marvel Now situation, which is great. And I'm surprised that they even...
This is the second one, right?
Now What, this is just like a little campy thing that's... It's got several different... Here, let me show you.
Scotty Young
does a...
Yeah, the geriatrics.
Little mockery of himself and all the baby stuff that so he was funny. Doing.
So did they not already do one of these? A Marvel Now What?
No, that's it. That's it, no. They had the What Nows that they were supposed to do.
Okay, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bloodhound came out on 1 of 5, another one of the series.
Justice League 24, Satellite Sam 4.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Did you get a chance to read that one?
I haven't read it yet. And then Rat Queens 2, we talked about. And then Velvet, probably Ed Brubaker.
Yes, how was that?
Fantastic. Yeah, I didn't
read that. And then Rocketeer Spirit 2, Camille.
Yes.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss Me Satan.
Ooh, yes.
Right?
Double Trouble.
FF. Was that?
Yeah. FF, that's the first Lee Allred story.
I'm excited to.
I gotta say, that is the most entertaining book in comics. I love it.
That's what
you're
saying. So fun. I mean, I'm a believer, but I like a lot of stuff.
Of FF?
I'm gonna
read FF. It's fun, it's for everybody. But Lee Allred has taken over now because Matt Fraction has left Fantastic Four, but you know, he's left notes with them and everything. And so this is Lee's real first kind of contribution to the stories. Tons and tons of pop culture referencing in there, and the way that the family interacts, and of course the way he's writing these kids and the artwork.
That's my favorite. It's
just super fun.
Is that it's like a bit? It's I don't know. You feel good and warm and all.
And the situation that they come into is just really just like it's campy, fun filled adventures.
Every time. It's a good family. Like it doesn't matter how old you are. It's always going to be good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should really read it. It's fun.
Just in.
I think everybody should read Fantastic Four and FF.
I concur. Well, I can't speak to Fantastic Four. The little bit that I have read has been pretty cool, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, we got some more books to read this week.
Always.
What'd you guys get? We wanted to hear from you, so you should tell us what you guys got. You can email us at EmpireStrikesBooks@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams.
Instagrams.
Which are at Empire_Strikes.
And apparently we've got Google information and stuff.
Yeah, we have Google.
That's for the shop,
weird. Yeah, that's weird. But speaking of, come visit us at the shop. Empire Strikes Books at Northwest 23rd Street, Suite 103.
Or come see Sherman, 6900 North May Avenue. We'll chat up, have a good time.
At All Star Comics.
Always.
Yeah. But yeah, come visit us through the Halloween. We still got some of the Comic Fest books available, so you can come pick some of those up. Candy.
It's getting chilly.
Gotta get warm.
We got a coffee pot if you guys want to bring tea.
Yeah, we do. We have some Dunkin' Donuts coffee up there. Yeah, single cups, so it might take a while.
I brought the Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Well, I guess I'm out. I'm Brian.
I'm Camille.
It's Jules.
And Sherman.
And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stretch.